All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Saturday, December 21st of 2024. And looking ahead here, we have a ton of action coming at you over the weekend. We have NFL today, college football today, NHL today, NBA today, right? There are just ton of sports and DFS for you to play this weekend. So it should be a fun weekend of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim teams. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays here, typically 12:30 p.m. Eastern, but because of the football game getting the football slate getting started at 1 p.m. Eastern, I moved the show to 1:30 p.m. Eastern just today. So we'll be back to normal schedule going forward. So appreciate you guys being flexible. I'm sure, you know, everybody was busy getting their lineups in and stuff like that. So probably works out best for everybody here. So with that said, let's get SaberSim up. We actually have no questions to get us started today that came in Discord, but we do have one here in the YouTube chat, and I definitely want to do a late swap demo for this game with the big window here. So I have my entry file loaded up. I'm ready to do a late swap demo when the time comes. All right, first question. Do you look at the multi-day football slate any differently than you do a standard main slate? Good question. You know, the only things that I really look at differently, well, there's a couple things, right? So for me, the number of games on the slate is always going to matter, right? So typically, like some of these multi-game slates or multi-day slates are a little bit different. You know, if it's like, say, Monday to Thursday, right? It's I look at it, it's like, okay, it's a two-game slate. So like first differentiation, how many games? Is it like two-game, three-game? 12 game, right? I mean, they have Thursday to Monday where it's all the games, right? So first differentiator, how many games are on the slate? The reason for that is that the smaller ones are going to have, you're probably going to have to account for duplication. So it's telling me that, like, hey, you know, am I going to have to worry about being duplicated in this contest? So that's number one. Number two, sometimes there is news that is pending that you don't know. I will often try and take advantage of that and try and make a determination about where I think, what I think is going to happen, right? So that's something I'm looking at differently for multi-day slates. So for instance, you know, this isn't a multi-day slate, but we're probably going to talk about this in late swap. There is a big gap here, right? Rashad Bateman is questionable in this late game. And I think he's either not going to play or going to be limited in some way, shape, or form. Like he missed practice on Thursday and was walking around with a walking boot or something like that, right? That does not look good for me. And, you know, I have a background in sports medicine, and seeing that, looks pretty wild to me. So Rose is saying he's playing. I'm still concerned about like his usefulness, and maybe I'm wrong, right? You know, we just saw Patrick Mahomes just, you know, running a touchdown after having this like ankle sprain issue like all week, right? So I could be wrong there, but I would say basically injuries are something I'm looking at differently for multi-day slates than slates that are like the same day. So like Monday to Thursday is great, right? Because there's no injury report on a Monday for like teams that are playing on Thursday. There's like a little bit of chatter and things like that, but I think you could take advantage of those opportunities. And sometimes I'm wrong, right? Like I thought Garendo was not going to play, and I thought Patrick Taylor was going to play. And so I optimized my lineups for that scenario. Like a week. due to like salary restrictions, right? So those things happen. You know, I like to take shots and sometimes like I'm wrong, but as far as like what I'm looking at differently across multi-day slates, it's typically just like injury situations that I want to take advantage of. So those are my thoughts there. But well, actually, one last thought. So the reason I do that mostly, right, is because I'm basically trying to tell the optimizer, like, hey, if this happens, you know, I want you to get the most exposures to the best players you possibly can, because you could wait and do that, but you can't go back and take players out of your lineup and put, you know, the new players in. So I'm trying to like give the builder that input up front in hopes that I'm right. So that's something I'll do differently on multi-day slates. Not to say that I'm always going to be right, but you know, you in DFS, right, we talk about this in like the profit plan stuff. It's like, hey, you know, even a player who's a good player with a 20% ROI still only wins 6 to 8 days in a calendar month, right? So you're losing like more often than you're winning, right? Well, like when you're right, you really want to be right and you want to capitalize on it and you want to get, you know, those binks, those first place prizes that help you to grow your bankroll, sustain your bankroll, all those things. So like my approach is typically when I'm right, I want to be really right and I want to give myself as many chances at winning first place as possible. So that's the way I approach it. That's typically like a little bit riskier. You know, I end up on bigger downswings because of that. And you know, I'll say that out loud. And you know, when I talk to like Jordan and things like that, he definitely takes a little bit more conservative approach because DFS is a high variance game. So I try and balance that out with like my contest selection and things like that. Being careful, playing lots of lineups allows me to do that. Using high numbers of min uniques when I see, you know, I'm getting a ton of exposure to the players that I'm adjusting for and stuff like that. Like, okay, hey, maybe I need to balance this out. So being aware of the risk, taking some shots, I think, you know, you can find a happy medium there. All right. Next question. Can you talk about the NBA projections that are being incorporated by the new analyst and how you are using them with SaberSim? So to be honest, I don't know much more than what Matt posted in the Discord. So I'm happy to talk about like the post and like even read it out loud for everyone here. So this was the post that went up. Oh, what happened? So sorry, basically explaining how the analyst sims or the analysts are being accounted for in the new with the model, with the NBA model. So I'll just read it first and we'll talk about it a little bit. So Matt said, hey everyone, we have an exciting NBA announcement. We recently hired 4 NBA analysts to help us create the best projections on the planet. Tonight, we are incorporating those inputs into our sims for the first time. On its own, this change will make a huge impact on the quality of our projections. All 4 of these analysts have tested very well in our accuracy metrics, and using all of them will be even better. On top of that, we're utilizing these new inputs in a really cool way. Each analyst will have their own set of sims based on their projections, and our final sims will combine each of these analyst sims weighted by our internal accuracy metrics. The result is that our sims will not only be more accurate for mean projections, but also better incorporate uncertainty into our range of outcomes in playing time, usage, and overall production. A few notes on this. For now, we will no longer show the sim started message in Discord, just sim completed. Soon, we hope to provide better messaging than before when we receive news and updates. Tonight, we will also not have the significant projection changes in Discord messages. This should be back very soon, hopefully tomorrow. We are intentionally going to be slightly slower on our initial reaction to news than before. This gives our analysts time to update, but it also means that we should have fewer of the intermediate sims before our final update to the news. We're all really excited about this update and the impact it will have on quality of projections and sims, let us know if we have any, if you have any questions, and there will be more content about this in coming weeks. So I think the content, you know, that Matt and the team are going to put out will answer most of the questions. You know, I'm not on the modeling team. You know, I'm not a data scientist. Unfortunately, I wish I was. So what they are able to provide is going to be a lot better, and it will go into a lot more depth. So keep an eye out for like those either like stream or video or something like that. We might post something like, "Hey, ask your questions," and you know, that way we can answer them. So keep an eye out for that. But I really don't know much more other than that. But I am super excited about the update. And I even had a decent night myself last night with a second place in the night slate. So that was a cool little victory. All right. Let's get out of here. Keeping it rolling. Rose said, "So if you're using ROI metrics, should I just go to autofill if I don't want to use the average ROI of all contests? If I select only certain contests in autofill, would that make my filter do an average of those contests?" Okay, so two questions here, right? So let's just run a pre-slate build as if, you know, this slate hadn't started, right? So let me just run this. And let's let these lineups finish. I don't know about you guys, but I got the game on in the background, just, you know, on mute. So I saw that like Tank Dell bomb right now, and I was like wondering if he was going to catch it because it looked pretty close. So if you guys see my eyes wandering, I'm just, you know, keeping up with the game like I assume some of you guys are too. Yeah, Roche said he's watching too. Yeah, multitasking. All right, this build's almost done. And just waiting for lineups to load. Okay, so we're in direct fill right now. Okay, so I think this point here gets a little bit missed. So what happens in autofill? Okay, I want to hammer this home. What happens in autofill? You can manually do it in direct fill. It's just going to take way more time to do. Okay, so for instance, I ran my lineups. I'm running my contest sim. Okay, I'm going to do this with an ROI greater than zero filter. So we just got to wait for the contest sim to finish. Seven of 16. Data might be like a little bit skewed here because it's like a pre-slate build, but it's using the live data. So we're probably going to get like more Mahomes than you would like normally see. All right. So this is done. So I'm in autofill, right? And then I'm going to go to my filters. I'm going to turn on ROI greater than zero. Just make sure this is right. Target ROI greater than zero. Save. Okay. So when I click save, what happens? The builder goes through all of these and unchecks them. It checks the top one. It's always going top down. It's resorting the lineups based on the whatever's in the rank by column. So this ROI, right? The target ROI for this contest. And then it resorts them. It applies any filters. So the ROI greater than zero for that specific contest. And then it applies any uniques, Minimax exposures, whatever you have set, fills the 10 entries, and then goes to the next contest. And then it does it again. And then it does it again, right? Caveats, if you're using unique rank, it's taking the lineups that you've used and taking them out and not letting them be used again. If you have rank, it will allow the lineups to be used more than once, okay? So I'm going to click save, right? It's going to go through here. It's going to fill all of these contests, okay? It does this in 5 to 10 seconds, right? This is done. I could do that in direct fill myself. If I go to direct fill, I'm going to go to the saved section and I'm going to clear this out. Okay, so I'm going to start fresh. All right. So indirect fill. Now I'm going to go back to my lineups. So I'm gonna do what direct, well, what autofill just did. I'm gonna show you exactly what it's doing. So it's going in here based on your list, whatever order it is, right? And the list carries over. Okay, it's gonna be the same. So I'm gonna go. I'm gonna uncheck the top. I'm gonna uncheck them all. I'm gonna check the top one. You're gonna see the lineups. It says loading lineups. It is resorting them right now. And then this filter is trashing all of the lineups that are the ROIs less than zero for the contests that are checked. So since it's only one contest, it is only trashing lineups that are negative ROI for that contest. If I have two contests selected, then it's going to do the average. It's going to, one, rank by the average, rank the lineups, and then two, it's going to trash the lineups based on the average ROI. So see, my trash went from 644 to 269. Okay. When I have two selected, but when I have only one selected, there's 644 in the trash. So they're different. Okay. So again, I'm doing one right now. Okay. Hey, I'm going to come in here, resorting the lineups, filtering. I'm going to click save. Okay. It's going to save those 10. And then I'm going to go to the next contest. And then I'm going to do the same thing. Lineups resort, filter applies, different number of lineups in the trash, and then I can click save. And then I can go through these one at a time. This is what autofill is doing. But however long this takes me, maybe 5 minutes, it takes autofill 5 to 10 seconds. Okay, so that's what's happening there. So lineups are being trashed every time. And then they get put back into the pool if they're positive ROI for the next contest or positive ROI for the next contest as it continues to go. And then same thing for rank, unique rank. If I'm on unique rank, the lineups that go to saved can't be used again. But if I'm on rank, the lineups that go to save can be used again. Okay. So I hope that answers the first part of the question. And then second part was, if I select only certain contests in autofill, will that make the filter do an average? No. Autofill will only basically always work contest by contest. It will just only go through the set of contests that you've checked, and it will leave the other ones untouched. So, Roshi, I may have been confused when I was looking at direct fill because it was trashed. So it does trash them, right? The filters always trash the lineups. That's what filters do. They are taking lineups that you have, and then they are saying, okay, hey, this many are positive ROI, this many are negative. The negative ones are going in the trash every single time, and they're updating the same way we were doing it in direct fill. How we went from 644 to 259 or 151, whatever, that's happening every single time. Roche, so I was looking at direct fill trash when it doesn't apply to autofill. But remember, when you click save, it is effectively trashing those every single time it's going contest by contest, the same way we're doing it, right? So remember, when we're in direct, we are just mimicking autofill just a lot slower. So I have my lineup ROI greater than zero filter. Oh, touchdown, Dalton Schultz. All right. ROI greater than zero. This gets applied to however many contests are selected. So autofill is going one by one. We're going one by one. So we're mimicking that action. So Rose said, follow up. So in autofill, if some lineups are trashed, that could be put into the pool for another contest. Yeah, absolutely, right? Because in this contest that we have selected right now, there's 132 lineups in the trash. Basically, 132 lineups of our pool graded out negative for this contest. But if I click a different contest with different payout structure, different entries, different field lineups potentially, now there's 644 lineups in the trash. So it's like, hey, okay. Well, in this contest, another 500 lineups actually graded out poorly, and we don't want to consider them for this contest. We're willing to consider them for a different contest, but not for this one. All right. Good stuff there. Going to move on to this next question.
Can you run through what you did yesterday for the NBA? For today's slate, I want to see if my steps are the same. Thanks. Yeah, we could do an NBA demo. No problem.
So let's go to NBA for today. Big 11-game main slate. All right, let's go to build lineups. All right. So just going to run 2,000 lineups here, okay? I like to have like a small filter on to ignore some players I don't even want to look at. So just like my projection greater than 10, it's fine. All right. One thing I like to do is increase minimum salary a little bit here on like a big 11-game slate. We don't need to get too weird with salary. You know, we want to guarantee that like good floor with projection. I don't remember making two adjustments to projections, but maybe my filter unlocked the button. So either way, good to go now. I'm going to click this build, kick this off. I don't have an entry file at the moment, but I'm just going to go and create a manual contest sim in the meantime. And then jump back to my build. So we'll let this keep running. Lineups are building. Question, on a bigger slate, wouldn't 5,000 lineups be better than 2,000? You should always build the maximum number of lineups you can based on your plan. I am not doing that simply for time, right? It just takes more time to build 5,000 lineups. It's going to take an additional, you know, minute or something like that. And I 2,000 lineups is plenty for like a build demo here. So that's all it is. All right. Lineups are built. I'm going to kick off my contest sim. First thing you should do as soon as lineups are built, always kick off the contest sim, okay? Because you effectively don't care what the exposures are or anything at this point because you're not on your desired sortie metric, right? I might have 85% of whoever, but then once the contest sim runs, they might drop. Other players might raise, right? You want to get to your preferred sortie metric as like the first step after lineups built. And then you click run contest sim, the ROI is going to automatically switch, right? I'm using a manual one, so I need to go and switch it. But if you have an entry file uploaded, you don't need to do anything special. All right. So now I'm on my preferred sorting metric, right? Now I can start making adjustments. So typically, right, we say, okay, hey, go in and set your ROI greater than zero filter. Okay, you know, they got rid of, you know, 200-ish lineups. Perfect. Now that I'm at my curated pool, you know, you can apply any other filters you want at this point. But now, you know, I'm basically ready, right? I've applied all my filters and stuff. I'm down to the set of lineups I'm willing to consider, and they're sorted the way I want. Now I can start making some adjustments, right? I always recommend doing uniques first, okay? And I need to update this metric. So I always recommend doing uniques first, because even if you want to move some projections around, uniques is going to get you closer to that naturally. So you might go from needing to set 10 or 20 minimax exposures to needing to set like 5, right? Because this organically adjusts the exposures. So I'm watching my metrics here, and then I'm starting to adjust the uniques, making sure that they don't move too much. I forgot what the ROI was. So starting ROI is like 305, average projections like 283.5. Okay, so 2 barely changes it, 3 uniques. ROI is going down, projections going up a little bit. This is probably like due to like ownership considerations. All right, so at 4 ROI drops and projection drop, you know, projections down like a total 3 points, ROI is down about like 40%. This is a good opportunity that I recommend, okay, going in here and saying like, hey, you know, am I comfortable with the exposures and leverages that I'm seeing, right? And if you are, great, this is a good stopping point. If you're not, then I would go further, but at least you're stopping here and analyzing. If you're like, hey, you know what, I want to go and see what 3 look like because I'm actually okay with this, right? Oh, okay, 3, I'm okay with that too. And I save more of these metrics. I'm going to go with 3, right? So there's like a
couple different directions you can go from here, like 3, 4, 5 uniques, all kind of make sense depending on like your risk tolerance. But the important thing is analyzing the data you're seeing, your exposures, your leverages, your aggregate metrics. You're trying to look at these things and find a balance and be like, hey, you know, this one feels better to me, because what feels better to you might be feel different to somebody else and different to somebody else, right? I could easily see 3 different SaberSim users making 3 different decisions at this point. So this is kind of like the intersection where you got to figure that out. But after that, right, basically ready to rock and roll, save here. I just did this as if I was doing one contest and I'd be ready to go. So these are steps for NBA. And then after that, I'd be ready for any late swaps. All right. Rose said, so I should just go to autofill with that metric on and ignore what it says in direct fill. Autofill will automatically put the positive ROI lineups and trash the negative ones. And then it will add those lineups that were trashed and redo the same process as it goes down the list. I think that's what you were trying to explain. Yes, that is exactly how it works. So if you go to autofill, if you put your ROI greater than 0 filter on, it will move the lineups in and out as they grade out well for some contests versus others, fill the highest ROI lineups, go to the next one, and it will save you a bunch of time in the process. Coin said, appreciate that. Sorry to keep you from the game. No, man, it's cool. You know, I'm super happy to be doing this show. And it's you know, some of these concepts are a little hard to explain and they take repetition. So I'm happy to go over them as many times as needed. Rose says the same process would work if I only have 5 contests selected. Yes. So it doesn't matter how many contests you have selected. It's always going to go contest by contest. The difference is it going to go through 5 or is it going to go through 15 or however many contests you have, right? You're just basically saying, I only want to do it for these 5, and then it just leaves out all the rest. All right. So good stuff so far. Let me check the Discord to see if any questions are rolling in there. Okay, get in the Discord. Rose said, it makes sense. I think the trash and direct feel confused, but makes a lot more sense now. Awesome, awesome. So I definitely want to do a late swap demo before we get out of here. So far we're caught up with questions. If any more questions come in, that's fine. We'll continue to answer those. But we're caught up in Discord and YouTube chat. I want to do a late swap demo. So I'm going to go back to the 2-game NFL slate right now. And so once the slate starts, right, important to refresh the projections. Once you refresh the projections, that tells SaberSim what time it is, right? Like, hey, you know, the slate is active. That's when this big green late swap button becomes visible. So now that I'm ready, I click the late swap and I get this pop-up, okay? The pop-up by default is the least restrictive settings possible. And the reason for that is because, you know, there are going to be times where like Anthony Davis gets ruled out in like a late game. And if like the min salary is high, maybe you can't swap him out because of like a min salary restriction or something like that. Right. So min salary defaulting to 0. We're defaulting to like a fresh build without any of your rules or anything like that. You can change those things back, but our default is to go least restrictive, okay? Because it'll lead to the least amount of problems. If you want all your stuff to carry over, great. Go to your settings and switch it to the build you are using, right? So like build 1 would have anything I've done in this build and it will carry it over to late swap, okay? You could also reset the minimum salary. Once you're done with that, you have 2 options. Number 1, you can swap them right now. Or if you just want to set up your late swap and use it for later or tinker a little bit more, just create without building, okay? Both options are fine. There's really no difference. So now I'm in my build. Now I can tinker more. I can wait. I can kick this off. It doesn't matter, okay? So I'm going to rebuild my lineups right now, all right? And I'm just going to do something where it's like 10 times my entries, right? It's like fine with me. So I'm ready here. And I'm going to click build. So let's let this build. Okay.
So what happened here? So notice here in my late swap, I only have one contest selected. Okay. So I think what happened was I was in build one and I was doing a demo going contest by contest and only one contest was selected. So it's only going to go by however many contests are checked, right? Easiest thing to do. You run into a situation like this, right? This is good troubleshooting. Go to your contest tab. Check all the contests with this checkbox up here. And then once I've checked all the contests, I can click late swap again. And then I can do it over, right? So then, okay, I'm going to come in here, 3,000. And then I'm now going to use the green swap button, right? Because I didn't do anything the first time. I was just showing different ways to do it. So now when it's late swapping on this second time, I already saw that all the contests were there. So that's what's happening, right? Remember, it's just dependent on how many contests are checked. Hollywood Brown is like super involved today in his first game. All right. So this is almost done. Lineups are loading. All right, so lineups are built. Again, first thing I'm going to do here, right? Kick off my late swap. I mean, my contest sim. Got to kick off the contest sim, right? First thing you got to do. So we're just waiting for the contest sim to run. Get the question off the screen. Question here while this runs. So it's $300 a month to get the Sims tool. Yeah, that is the price. One thing I always tell people, you know, if the $300 a month doesn't make sense to you, overextending yourself for, you know, a subscription is like probably going to like dilute your enjoyment of like one, the product, and like two, DFS in general, right? Like for a lot of people, it's fun entertainment opportunity to make some additional money on a weekend, you know, have a sweat on the games. What I recommend, right, is if that doesn't make sense for you right now, you know, just with your bankroll and things like that, and maybe you're just getting started, like build a winning process on the lower subscription cost. And then as your bankroll grows, well, great. That gives you, you know, the ability to upgrade your subscription. So we have winning players across all of our subscription levels, and you can definitely build a winning process on starter and then upgrade to ultimate when the time makes sense. So I always recommend doing that. All right. So contest sims are done here. Notice that my rank buy automatically switches to the target. Okay. And then even if I come in here and create an average target ROI metric, so I, at this point, right, the most important thing to do is to click save. You want to update your lineups, okay? So I'm going to click save. So I click save. Notice the metrics update, right? Okay, great. Metrics are updating. Now what I would do after I've clicked save is open up the projections panel and then go and look at my new exposures, okay? So build the lineups, run the contest sim, click save, then go in and analyze your projections, right? There's a couple good columns here that I'm actually not seeing, but they're actually over here. So let's reset these to default. And I think they'll come over to the side that I want. Okay, so this is great. So you get to see a couple things here. I get to see my new player exposure, which is the exposure column. I get to see the original from my pre-slate. And then I get to see the delta is just like leverage. It's new exposure minus old exposure. And it tells you the differences here, right? So I can sort by delta.
and be like, okay, who moved up or down the most? That looks weird. Let's go back to exposure. Because Pat Freiermuth should be the highest here. Okay, something weird with the delta. I'm going to make a note. So if you guys see weird stuff like that, best thing to do, go top right corner, port a problem. Sorting by delta exposure, not looking correctly. Highest delta, not at the top. Cool. So that's like super small. We can fix that. But this is more of like the analyzation, like who came out, who came in. You know, you can scroll through here. Even if you just sort by exposure, you're going to be able to get a pretty good sense here. So there were a couple small changes, like Mark Andrews came down, Freiermuth went up. That makes sense, you know, tight end for tight end there. But a lot of this other stuff is kind of small. Derrick Henry down a little bit. But important thing, right? Just steps. Run the build, run the contest sim, click swap contest, which is the save button. Then go and analyze. And then guess what? If you want to make changes, you can make them and then go click swap again or save again, right? So there's a little bit difference of like saving, then analyzing, then resaving and making your adjustments as you go compared to like pre-slate, okay? So those are the biggest things I wanted to show or demo here considering in regards to late swap, all right? And then one other thing with late swap, and I'll mention real quick, is if you upload your file to the site and you get an error, okay, maybe it's like 20 out of 30 contests updated or something like that, right? The numbers aren't matching. That means that the sites are out of sync for some reason. SaberSim and DraftKings are not on the same page. So what you need to do, go to the contest tab, go to this up arrow next to the download entries, okay? Oh, where are the, at the two? All right, up arrow. And then you're going to re-import your entry file. Okay, what you're doing here effectively is you're saying, hey, SaberSim and DraftKings, not on the same page for some reason. DraftKings, tell me what the lineups look like on your site. And then they give you the file, right? And then you bring it into SaberSim, and then it updates this page. You're going to overwrite that file. And then it's like, and then now SaberSim is back on the same page with DraftKings saying like, okay, this is what DraftKings is seeing. Let's start over. And then from here, what I would do is I would open a new swap build, right? Either late swap here on the side or the green button, doesn't matter. Same thing. And then you open up a new swap build and then you rerun your swap. And then with the lineups being on the same page to start, it should work the second time. Okay. So that's everything I wanted to cover today. Appreciate you guys tuning in and watching the game simultaneously. I will be back on Monday, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, it's going to be a super fun weekend in DFS. Good luck in all your contests. Take care. Thanks. Bye.